But I want you to turn with me to Psalm 150. I shared with the church Wednesday night, and that I was in an internal celebration atmosphere because of an ordeal. I don't know how long it lasted. It's been about maybe a year and a couple months that I went through this ordeal that just has challenged me basically on every level of living that I could live. And I know there's new things coming that's going to fortify my breakthrough. I know there's more coming to fortify it, but I do know now that what was going on is ended. Praise God. Not to mean nothing's going to come later. What was going on for that last year or so has ended. And the powers of darkness has lost all authority to torment my mind with it any longer. And here's one of the things God did to me through all this. He made a statement saying, let me ask you, how many of you are born again today? Blood washed. You accept the Bible, okay. This statement's to you. In the midst of all this, the Lord told me, he said, you do not have the right to live life the way you want to because you belong to me. He went on and he said, I gave my son. He shed his blood. He brought you. So we have no right to just live any way we choose to live because we are his. And not to get into a very negative atmosphere, but just a quick acceptance of it. This, what I'm about to say, is hard for us to understand today. If we'd have been alive a couple hundred years ago when slavery was rampant around the world at any time, you can go back to the days of Moses any place. Then, in them atmospheres, what God said here was understood on a level we can't relate to. Because we don't understand that lifestyle and that environment today. Although it's still around us. But when slaves were purchased and bought, from then on, they couldn't do things the way they wanted to do things. They couldn't go where they wanted to go just because they wanted to go. They couldn't buy what they wanted to buy just because they wanted to. They had to do what their master said. And God says, we're not our own. So we don't have the right to live any way we want. Now, one of the things that controls our living, probably more than anything, is our mood. Anybody agree with that? My behavior today is going to depend on my mood right now. Now, my mood might change later, but most of what I do is done because of the mood I'm in. And that's where this psalm comes in so rich. So I want to read it very quickly. And as I say, I'm not going to touch on but a couple of the verses. I'm going to say things on the way down, but beginning at verse 1, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. In short, praise God every place you go. Praise him in his sanctuary. Well, where is his sanctuary? We're sitting in it. But we also are it. For Paul said that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Peter said that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him that brought us out of darkness. What we've done this morning here should be done daily. As we recognize, the devil's not winning. The powers of darkness are not even gaining ground. And we need to acknowledge that. Because that's what it is to praise God. It is to praise, genuine praise, and this is what God wants, is to praise God according to his excellent greatness. To recognize his excellent glory. and to celebrate him in that. That's what he says. Verse 2, praise him for his mighty acts and for his excellent greatness. That phrase, mighty acts, literally refers to nature and God's power. Or let me say it differently. God's mastery over nature itself. Can we prove this biblically? Look at the Red Sea. Not natural for the Red Sea to split. Look at the Jordan River on several occasions. Days of Moses, days of Joshua, days of Elijah. The beginning of Elijah, Jordan River split. Psalm 40, verse 1, God inclined his ear to my sayings. And what did he do? He made a choice. And we see this in Psalm 40, verse 2. He made a choice. And that choice was to reverse the natural course of events. What should have happened naturally, God turned it around. And he said he brought me up out of a situation that I should have sunk in or went down in. He brought me up out of a place I should have sunk in. God reversed all that. He's still in that business. Psalmist goes on. And this is where I want to begin. Praising with the timbre, verse 3, I'm sorry. Praising with the sound of the trumpet. Praising with the psaltery and harp. Praising with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with string instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Now, God tells us a lot here. I'm going to summarize it. We're supposed to praise God any place and every place we are. We're supposed to praise God in whatever we're experiencing, whether good times or bad times. And there's a way to learn to praise him. Now, this is probably what I'm going to give you from these verses is probably the strangest way to approach Scripture I've ever looked at. Yet, when we understand what they understood when David said that, it'll change everything. Because you notice, it's all instruments. Now, let me ask you, how many of you play instruments? Yeah, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, plus the back people behind me. So as far as the rest of us go, we're sunk. This don't apply to the rest of us. Why, how can God ask me to praise him on something I ain't got? Or I can't do. But I'll guarantee you one thing. Even musicians that are in this building might not know how to play what David said. But this psalm comes in two ways. Number one, it was written for the gathered congregation, like us. But it's, remember, we have to praise God every place, everywhere, in everything. Regardless of anything, we are to praise God. And he uses these instruments, and this is where my mind just went blank, because I looked at these instruments. And because of some computer problems, I couldn't get them up, but I've got pictures of these things. But I took note and discovered, and this is the cultural background behind this, that these musical instruments that are mentioned in this song, they produce a lot of different sounds. Now, here's where it comes in. That resemble the wide range of emotions we go through. Every instrument refers to an emotion. How I'm feeling. What I'm going through. What I'm experiencing. And yes, there is the dance. And that goes with the instruments. But let's go through them. Watch what happens. Let me get these instruments together and get over with it. Verse 3, praise him with the trumpet. I'm going to use the instruments of Israel from here on out. It said, praise him, the Tehillim. It said, praise him with the blast of the shofar. Now, sometimes man can perceive the closeness of God as they tremble before God's awesome judgment, which overwhelms them like the strong blast of the shofar. The shofar was a ram's horn. There are different sizes, but it made this hideous sound when it was blown. And when it was blown, there were good times for the trumpet. There were bad times for the trumpet. If we were in Israel and we knew there wasn't nothing good coming up or going on, no feast, no nothing, and we were in the city, and all of a sudden there was the blast of the shofar, it would create fear. The scripture literally tells us in Amos, where Amos indicates, shall a trumpet, a shofar, be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Now, the teaching here is this. When we find ourselves in a crisis, anybody in a crisis today? Pastor, what's a crisis? A life-changing event. Some of you in one don't even know it, but there's crisis. But when we find ourselves experiencing a crisis, or we tremble with fear, now, Pastor T's been honest the whole 30 years I've been here. I'm not going to stop now. If you saw Thursday night, when do we have Bible study? If you saw Wednesday night's program, you saw fear hit Pastor T. And it hits Pastor T only one time. There's only one thing that happens that causes fear to grip me so quick. I don't have time to even get through it. And that's when I think this thing's going to go off in my heart because it is so painful. And there's always been a certain feeling that takes place before it clicks. And I got the feeling Wednesday night, and I had to stop, and all I do is every time, God, please, no, don't. Don't let this happen. And then I praise him. See, fear comes in all kinds of ways. You're not alone if you have fear. But what this so far sound tells us is that when we are in a crisis or we tremble with fear, we should offer God praise resembling that at the time that we are the beneficiaries of God's abundant goodness, mercy, and grace. And that's all the time. Yes, it troubles my mind. And I was amazed because somebody afterwards said, you thought that thing was going off, didn't you? They don't know nothing about that. And I said, yeah, I did. And they said, I understand. I had an incident take place in my body, and there are certain ways when I move, I think it's going to happen. And they said, and it just brings this to you. But church, the sound of God's praise, like the blast of a shofar, removes all that. Then God went on, he spoke about praise him with the nevel. Now, this interesting entrance, it produced 10 different tones, which represent, now I'm just going to, this is God's mind. We got to see how he thinks, because it's amazing. But this instrument, this call to praise, represents times when you go through the scale of emotions. And we've all been there. You start the day off pretty good. You're in a good mood. Everything's going well. You're doing good. And all of a sudden, something happens. And that good feeling starts to wean. Something else happens. That good feeling weakens, and that feeling comes behind. It gets a little stronger. Something else happens. And by the time you're ready to lay down your bed at night, you're about wigged out. You're ready to pull your hair out your head. Your emotions have gone from the mild-mannered person that you really are to being some kind of a beast. You have gone through the scales of the Nivelle. And God said, when that happens in your life, praise Him. Isn't that strange? I love strange, being myself. And I love things like this. These gems of gold that God just hands out. But there's more instruments. He went on, he said, and with the kinnor. Here's instrumenting. Because there's other times, not going through that scale, there's other times that man enjoys, I got to read this the way I typed it, idyllic serenity, which resembles the soft and delicate tones of this instrument called the kin. In other words, it's like listening to soft R&B, rhythm and blues music. Or whatever kind of music, you know, not rock and roll, not headband, but just easygoing music, easy playing music. I'm all comfortable in this. I am at peace of mind. Things are going good. Again, at that time, we have to recognize that God has created this quiet, peaceful mood. And as a result of that, we praise God for the gift of tranquil bliss. Now, most of us might not see that one too often, but it's there. And God says, when you're at that time, praise the Lord. And He's got more. That's what I love about God. Don't stop. In verse 4, he says, praise Him with two more instruments. Oh, no, one instrument. He says, praise Him with the tof, is spelled T-O-F, and the makal. Now, the tof was a hand drum. We had tambourines. Tambourine is a hand drum. The makal was a twirling dance. Not an organized twirling dance, where you just dance around in circles. You're celebrating God. You're dancing in circles. They have this atmosphere. The drum produces a loud, exciting sound, and the dance is done in twirling motions. Now, these instruments, they are suggestive of difficult periods. When somebody is swept up in an overly hectic whirlwind of activity. I know you've been there. Too much going on. You don't know which way to go. Your head is spinning. Your body's going one way. Your mind's going another way. All kind. It is as if all hell has broke loose over me. And life is hectic. And this is a time, the easiest way to recognize this, this is a time when you start saying stuff to people you love that you don't mean. But you know they're the only place you can empty this attitude. Because if you said some of the stuff you do at work, you lose your job. If you said it to somebody in the store, you may get beat up. God said when you are caught up in this emotion that you are overly you're in this whirlwind of activity, and pressure mounts as your time increases and the peace of mind decreases. Even then, God said, when you become rushed and turbulent like a swift tempo and pounding of a drum, you offer up praise unto God and dance at the same time. Now, you don't have to do this in a church building. Nothing wrong with it. But I'll tell you the best thing to do with the dance. Practice it in your living room. When you're alone. And again, until you get to practice it in your living room, you'll get out in public, you won't care about practicing it. Once it becomes a part of you, and you're realizing, this is my praise to God. Because in the midst of all this activity, God is still the God of peace. And he brings peace to us. And he allows our mind to once be fixed and focused. Because the powers of darkness takes that activity to get us to have our minds off and away from God. And that's why God doesn't say, tell the pastor to call you daily to praise me. God doesn't say, tell your husband to remind you. Tell your wife to remind you, your mama, your daddy, your granddaddy. Tell someone, he says you. Praise is your responsibility. You sit in church in the morning, praise is not his responsibility. His responsibility is to set an atmosphere. Praise is your responsibility. Well, Pastor, I can't praise sometime in this atmosphere. My God, are you listening to what I'm teaching you about the mood? Because there's a time to praise for all of them. Even that one. But let me come. I want to get done. Where am I? Verse 4. It says, praise him with the minion and the yugov. Now, the minion, trying to remember what that looked like. Oh, it's one instrument with many parts. It's a string instrument. It puts out the same sound as a clavichord. You know what that does? It's like a piano organ type thing, pipe organ. They used to use it in the old times, coming into town with a circus or something. They'd be playing it, and it's a weird sounding instrument. Well, that's the instrument God refers to here, this one. Whereas the yuga, the second one, and I want to say this very quickly. You can just simply go on the internet, and pull up instruments, biblical instruments of Israel. And you can see all these. There's pictures for all of them. And the yuga is simply a flute. Now these two instruments, particularly if you know the sound of the clavichord and the flute, they are instruments that represent the mood of sweetness. Are any of you familiar with that mood? The mood of sweetness. God thinks of everything. See, sometimes when we're serene and mellow, we may forget to praise God. But when we're in sweetness mode, let me say it this way. When we are in suki-suki mode, sweet, sweet. God, this is sweet. This is great. I've experienced this a lot, but some of my greatest has been on vacations with my wife, and particularly St. Thomas. My God, this is where I learned the sweetness mood in St. Thomas, and I would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and go out the back door, and I'm at the water, I'm at the beach. And the first thing I would do is get in the water and go scuba diving. And I'd have this sweetness all about me. Well, when that's happening, we're supposed to stop and praise God because we're conscious of that sweetness. And then verse 5. And this is the hardest two for me. Praise him with tzitzila shama, it's one instrument, and teruah. Now the tshama is two large copper plates, like cymbals, but the large copper plates that when beaten together, they make a loud, clashing sound. That's what God said, the high sounding or the clashing cymbal. Watch this. In the temple of Solomon, in the temple of Herod, on the praise and worship team, there was never less than two trumpet players. There was never less than nine kinnors playing. And although their numbers could increase without limit, at any time in the temple, there was never more than one Zetzilda, this clashing cymbal, because they were loud. And when they went off, they echoed in throughout the tabernacle. And they made this sound. But then there was that second one, the Teyuraza, which was close, but it's two brass plates, two brass plates, along with a thumb and middle finger. We've all seen these. It's like the Spanish castanets, the little Spanish things that you play. And what would happen is this. The brass cymbal caused a sound so loud it would make your ears ring. But the finger instruments referred to tumble down vibrations, clatter, clanging, and agitating sounds like a cricket that you can't find. You ever have a cricket in your house you can't find it? Drive you batty. God says when you're going through this mood, and there's all this loud noise, so loud. I can't prove this, but I wonder. I've never, and I thank God for this. I don't know if it's because I've had enough. I've never once in my life had a migraine headache. I know a lot of people that do. And based on what they tell me, I often imagine it must be like this clashing sound that is so loud that it makes your ears ring and drives you insane. Or you got this other thing going on with this little timblet thing snapping and snipping like a cricket you're looking for. God says, when your life's going through such motions as that, never cease to praise God. And then in verse 6, the psalmist says this. Every experience also offers us another opportunity to renew part of our soul to newness of Yahweh's greatness. Every emotion you go through is designed to draw you closer to God. Is that something? This psalm was written 1,000 years ago, which tells me that although things change as far as knowledge and wisdom and instruction, behavior, man himself has not changed. We go through the same day he went through. So I want you to stand this morning. I didn't expect it to be that long. And we've got to do several things at the same time. On your own, just give God praise. You're someplace in that list. Lord, allow us to lift our voice without shame. Allow us to lift our voice to offer praise to our King, who is worthy to receive all the glory, the honor, the power, and praise. Lord, let your word be implanted in our minds and into our spirit, our soul, so that we will remember no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're experiencing in life, no matter what's happening or what we're afraid is going to happen or what we think might happen, let none of it push us away from you, but let all of it draw our attention to you, knowing that you have a praise for this. Lord, I say that again. Help us to know that regardless of what we're facing, regardless of what we're experiencing, you have a praise for this. And Lord, help us to celebrate that. And we'll give you the glory and the honor and the praise. In Christ's blessed name. Amen. And amen. Pastor Anna, you want to do whatever? Please be seated. Pastor Anna is going to come and continue. I apologize, 27 minutes. I didn't expect that much. But let me ask you, did that put something in you different today? Please utilize it. Because we've got a battle going on. We're in a fight. And I'm going to tell you, the fight's going to increase because of this. Or no, the tension. Because if you look around, you start realizing we're coming back. We're coming back in our attendance. We're coming back in our strength. We're rising up after the COVID thing. We're coming back in our youth ministries. We're rebuilding and restructuring. And we're doing this because we're people that care. But part of that care is the letter A. Actively involved in worship. And praise is worship. God bless you.